Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday, March 6th, and this is Jeff Dunphy, and this show is Retooling for Our Coming of Age. We have in the past spoken of many things, but today we are going to speak of love. We are going to speak of love, and we are going to speak of connection with those higher places of yourself that bring you into further connection with the divine. I behold your beauty, he said. I know that your beauty is there because I see it, even if you don't see it in yourself. You are safe to bring it forth in my presence, and when you do, I will hold it like a precious gift, and I will receive it with love and honor. It is not enough for me to see something in you. I must learn to hold what I see. Until we are blessed by the mystic's love, we wander forever in the living death of our woundedness and pain. Then, in an enchanted moment, we are free of who we used to be. The beloved beholds us, and death turns into new life. It's a very special place to stand in that spot where your heart expands and embraces and creates a compassionate, energetic field around it, where it knows and it identifies with the woes that are upon the world. What a lovely thing. We all make mistakes, we all have fears, and we all have weaknesses. Behind all that is our essential self. When our essential self has made contact with another, the light is dazzling and would fill the universe. The challenge of enchantment is to remain faithful to that light, to believe in it when it is not so apparent. Then that light becomes an incandescent glow and it wraps itself around everything. When we dance with another and we engage in a conversation, whether it is an intimate marriage, or whether it is an intimate relationship of two pals where they are comfortable enough with each other to be honest. And can the purpose of a relationship be to trigger our wounds? In a way, yes, because that is how healing happens. Darkness must be exposed before it can be transformed. And the purpose of an intimate relationship is not that it be a place where we can hide from our weaknesses, but rather where we can safely let them go. It takes strength of character to truly delve into the mystery of an intimate relationship, because it takes the strength to endure a kind of psychic surgery, an emotional and psychological and spiritual initiation into the higher self. Only then can we know an enchanted relationship that lasts. Interesting stuff. And here's another quote I want to share with you. When the student is shorn of all confidence in the outer, it is indeed a period of initiation, of growth, unfoldment, and awareness. In the seemingly painful process of turning from disillusionment and confusion, the soul leans on God for sustenance, and man lives as he was intended to live, within the light. The light called forth through an enlightened individual to treat world conditions is a lasting, enriching power. It is a mighty service rendered to the divine hierarchy who so earnestly desire the cooperation of unascended beings. We do have a place. We do have a space where we can stand in the bliss of love. And we do have a veil of forgetfulness or a veil of amnesia that creates a world that is fettered with all kinds of nonsense. I'm going to share with you a French proverb that I found years ago. It goes like this: what makes us discontented with our condition is the absurdly exaggerated idea we have of the happiness of others. Now, given this mindset, and given this projection, and given the inability of ourselves to rely on ourselves, and our ability to look outside of ourselves to find what is truly important, does it not behoove us to recognize that finding what's truly important is a journey that begins by going within? Now, there's an old story of a guy who's out in the street. He's out in the street at night looking for something, and they said, well, what have you lost? And he said, well, I've lost a spoon. Well, where did you lose it? And he said, well, I lost it in my kitchen, in the house. And he said, well, why aren't you looking in your kitchen, in your house? And he said, well, the light is much better out here. How is it that we play that hand of looking in places where we will not find it, where we will not? There is a space and a yearning and a hunger to know the truth, to know what it is like to stand within your genius, or rather have your genius stand within you. And the way to find it isn't by looking outside of you. It is by looking inside of you. Now I'm going to revisit a wonderful poem that a woman named Ella Wheeler Wilcox wrote many years ago, but it is extraordinary because it does bring us back to our true essence, if you will. And it's called Lifting and Leaning. There are two kinds of people on earth today, just two kinds of people, no more, I dare say, not the good and the bad, for 'tis well understood that the good are half bad and the bad are half good. Not the happy and sad, for the swift flying years bring each man his laughter and each man his tears. Not the rich and the poor, for to count a man's wealth, you must first know the state of his conscience and health. Not the humble and proud, for in life's busy span, he who puts on vain airs is not counted a man. No, the two kinds of people on earth that I mean are the people who lift and the people who lean. Wherever you go, you will find the world's masses are ever divided in just these two classes. And strangely enough, you will find too, I ween, there is only one lifter to 20 who lean. In which class are you? Are you easing the load of overtaxed lifters who toil down the road? Or are you a leaner who lets others bear your portion of worry and labor and care? Now we have a poem that speaks diligently to, in fact, many of what we go through. We have a lot of people who are happy and delighted to take advantage of others as they wander through their lives. And as they wander through their lives, they wander through their lives thinking that it is somebody else's responsibility to take care of them. Somebody else's responsibility to take care of them. So forget not that the habit of confronting a crisis is a long-established one with the consciousness of humanity. They are only points of examination as to strength, purity, and motive in the intent of the soul. They evoke confidence when surmounted and produce greatly expanded vision. They release the light of wisdom within the field of knowledge, and the world is thereby enriched. Again, part of the very important aspect of waking up. Why? Why is it that we want to wake up? Because we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our higher selves. We owe it to that aspect of our very being that would suggest at this time in the point of history of our world that we entertain an enlightened perspective, that we do not hide, that we do not run away from our divine obligation, if you will, to wake up, but we embrace it and use it for the benefit of mankind, use it to further the evolution of humanity, use it to allow love to flow through us, and do it now. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back. Concerning all acts of initiative and creation, there is one elementary truth that ignorance of which kills countless ideas and splendid plans, that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then providence moves too. All sorts of things occur to help one that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issue from the decision, raising it in one's favor, all manner of unforeseen incidents and meetings and material assistance, which no man could have dreamed would have come his way. Whatever you can do or dream you can do, begin it. Boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. Begin now. Begin the act of retooling. Begin the act of opening up to your genius. Begin the act of waking up. Begin the act of waking up. We choose our joys and sorrows long before we experience them. And we also know oftentimes that there is a hunger that we wish to feed in some fashion within our lives. And throughout our lives, as we are going through it, we run into obstacles that prevent us from carrying on that divine design, that carrying on that divine call, because we get caught up in the nonsense and the maya and the glamour and the illusion of our daily lives. And what an unfortunate incident that we should get caught up in that aspect of our daily lives. For it is that amnesia, or it is that somnambulance, as some would say, that brings us into a space of not being able to fulfill our calling, not being able to fulfill our calling. And it is the connection to love, and it is the connection to the loved ones we have, so that we may better personify what we should be doing here. There is no question that we should be loving, and that we should be loved, and that we should know and understand and recognize that love is bigger and more profound than many have the capacity to deal. I want to speak another. How do I love thee? Let me count the waves. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach, when feeling out of sight for the ends of being and ideal grace. I love thee to the level of every day's most quiet need by sun and candlelight. I love thee freely as men strive for right. I love thee purely as they turn from praise. I love with a passion put to use in my old griefs and with my childhood's faith. I love thee with a love I seem to lose with my lost saints. I love thee with the breath, smiles, tears of all my life. And if God choose, I shall love, but love thee better after death. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to be of service. This is Jeff Dunphy. This is Friday, March 6th. This is Retooling for Our Coming of Age. We will see you next week.